of Cincinnati with Chris and Jason. It's Easter. Let's get our death metal on.
That wasn't bad. Yeah, kind of a Randy Savage thing.
Kind of hurt my voice. I was just going for like a metal thing, but either way.
I think it was Randy Savage-esque.
Yeah, I could see that too. That's more of a welcome to Buckin' D.D. You know, he has more of a, he hits certain notes a little bit different.
Wasn't he the one in the Spider-Man movie? Wasn't he a bone saw?
Oh, I don't know. He was in a Spider-Man movie?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
In the very first one, Tobey Maguire first became a spider and he needed to make money. So he went to this thing, if you last three rounds, with bone saw.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
It was Randy Savage.
That was Randy Savage.
So, hey, episode, 19.
19 is here.
We are rocking.
It's just me and Chris today. Our engineer lasted 1 week. He took off because of Easter. Nick's apparently hunting Easter eggs. Maybe his girlfriend dressed him up in a little pretty dress or something. I have no idea what's going on there, but you know.
You think she has a pretty dress that would fit him? He's a pretty skinny guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd fit in her nice little dress. You know, they got the little Easter egg thing set out that smell like vinegar. They're painting their eggs today, and she's going to hide them around the house and have Nick search for them.
All right, funny story. I went yesterday to buy all the stuff so me and Nate could paint eggs last night.
Yep.
So I go and I bite the, you know, I you mix them with water, they suck. You mix it with vinegar and they come out a lot brighter and a lot cooler colors. So I said, all right, well, I'm going to buy vinegar instead of just water. So I go around, I buy the eggs, I buy the little kit. I go in there to buy vinegar and I said, where's the vinegar? She said, it's right there. Well, of course, that's one of the items that's gone.
Oh, really?
So bottom line is I needed 6 tablespoons of vinegar.
Yeah.
And I got a gallon.
That's all they had.
1 gallon.
What are you going to do with the rest of it?
They say you can clean with it.
I guess. If you want everything to smell like vinegar.
Yeah, everything does smell like vinegar.
You can make some douche.
I could, but I don't think anybody would buy a homemade douche.
You never know, man. Times are getting rough around here.
Ladies, I'm selling...
he's got douche.
Massengill-like douches in a number of different... you know what I'll do? I'll put some scents in there, too. And $2.
That's a pretty good deal, I think.
Hell yeah, it is.
I mean, I don't know the running price for douche, but I'm sure it's...
I think it's about $7 or $8.
Is it really?
I think so. I did a douche once.
What?
I did it to my...
On someone else, right?
My high school girlfriend.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, she... it was really weird, but the girl I dated in high school was... it was just her and her mom. Her dad had died. And of course, you know, I was a junior or senior in high school. We were having sex. And one day, her mom came home from work a little bit early. Now, we weren't having sex anymore, but we were. And her mom said she could smell it in the air.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, not that she had a stinky kitty or anything
like
that.
No, but that's a thing.
There's a must, yeah. So she said to her daughter, she said, I really don't think I want you having sex. You're only 16 or whatever. I want you to stop. So my girlfriend got the crazy idea that, well, we don't have to stop.
We just got to douche.
I'll douche. So we went out and bought one. Pretty fucked up contraption.
Yeah. I've never really understood the old douche thing.
Yeah, that long ass thing with the holes all in the sides. Well, I went in there. She sat in the bathtub. I stuck it up there and squeezed, and you know, I didn't notice a difference at all.
Yeah, I don't. I've never really been with a girl that douches. I guess I don't know. My wife don't buy douche. I never didn't know anybody to buy it.
Like, when I was a kid, women owned douche bags.
Yeah,
look like a big rubber enema bag, and they douched on a regular basis.
Is that still a thing? The girls still out there douching all the time? Is it? Okay. I just know.
Yeah, they say if you do it too much, it'll fuck up your chemical imbalance, whatever, but, you know, could actually cause it to stink worse.
Because, you know, I go grocery shopping, and I'll buy my wife her pads or whatever she needs. She switched over to that cup a couple years ago, so I haven't had to do it in a while, but I used to.
Oh, the Diva cup.
The Diva cup. Those are weird. But anyway, she's been using that for a couple years. She loves it, and I like it because I don't have to buy tampons anymore, and that's sweet. But, you know, you'd always see girls buying pads or tampons, but I don't ever remember seeing anyone buying douche.
Oh, they buy them.
I mean, obviously they do.
And that fucking feminine cream they buy, they sell a billion of them. Vagisil or whatever it's called.
Yeah, but that's for like an itch, isn't it? Isn't that for stuff like that?
I'm telling you, the vagina is a many-faceted thing.
Oh, yeah, it's complicated.
And I think, you know, if you really want to be clean in there, I would think a douche once a month wouldn't be a bad thing.
How come the guy don't have something like that? How come we don't have something we can rub on our dick to make it smell cool?
Oh, there is lots of things.
Well, soap.
Body wash, soap.
Yeah, but I'm, you know, we don't have like a douche.
Well, you
we don't have certain things.
You can
things.
Rub vinegar all over your dick and see how that feels.
No, I, my wife uses that Dr. Bronner soap. You know what I'm talking about?
Never heard of it.
All right, it's the shit that, I don't know, it's different kinds of things. It's like an all natural thing. You see a lot of people using it these days. She's been using it for a while, but the one she uses is peppermint. And every so often, I'll use hers instead of mine because it goes both ways. Soap, it's not a girl or a guy soap. And that peppermint, though, when you wash it and it gets in the hole of your dick, it burns.
A lot of shit burns in the head of your dick.
Yeah, yeah. It's
regular
awful.
Bar soap hurts when it gets in the pee hole.
I remember the first time I used it, I was like, did I do this wrong? Are you not supposed to? I'm trying to read this label. And if anyone has ever seen that Dr. Bronner soap, it's covered in words and it's mostly biblical shit. It's some kind of weird... This guy that made this was out of his fucking mind. Like, he's absolutely nuts. And if you read the thing, you'd know what I was saying. And there's just stuff all over about how he wants you to live your life and all that shit. But I couldn't find anything that said I couldn't put it on my dick. And I've been using it still every so often ever since. And now I got to the point where I kind of like the sensation. I feel like that's getting clean. I feel like that's the burn of getting clean.
Well, I've got a really weird obsession. I guess you'd call it an obsession. You know... There's three or four spots that I need to hit in the shower extra good to make sure I'm cool. My ass crack is one of them.
Yeah. Well,
and my dick, because...
Ass, balls, and pits, and those are the big three.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to tell you what we used to call it, but we'd call it a Mexican shower.
Yeah.
Armpits and asshole and nuts.
I've heard other words used that aren't nice to minorities, but yeah.
Well, it's an Arizona thing. It's just what they call it.
Okay. Well, up here, they were a little bit
meaner
to the blacks.
Well, the reason they called it that in Arizona is because, and this is not a racial issue. This is a fucking fact.
Yeah.
These immigrants that come over from Mexico, they live 10 to an apartment.
Yeah, they don't got, you can't all be hopping in the shower.
That's it. They can't each take a 15-minute shower. So they take what's called a Mexican shower. They go in there, hair, balls, and pits. That's what they wash.
Did I ever tell a story on here about the Mexican that tried to pay me to live with him?
No, you told me about the Mexican that tried to pay you to marry his
wife.
Yeah, you told me that.
I tell it on this podcast, though.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It was one of the first episodes.
All right, yeah.
We were talking about your pizza delivery days, and you said, well, I did get a fucked up offer, but you actually thought about doing it, right? $10,000.
And I was, you know, 19, 20 years old. That was a lot of money.
You just had to marry her? How long did you have to stay married to her?
I don't know the thing. I had to live there for like 3 or 4 months. I had to live with them.
But you lived in the same complex as them already.
Yes, we lived in the same complex. So it would have just been moving down the street, I guess.
You should have said, hey, I got to live here. Do I get to fucking bang it once?
You wouldn't want to.
Oh, really?
No, that was, it wasn't.
I'll tell you what, you get some fucking hella food.
Yeah, they actually.
I love me some Mexican.
He ran a food truck, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You're eating like a
and
king.
It was really good. Really good shit.
And they had a spare room for you? And
yeah. They had a 2-bedroom apartment over in Eastgate Woods for all you Eastsiders.
What made you not do it? The fact that, first of all, you're breaking a law because they were married already, right?
I think that was a little bit of it. Well, they were married over in Mexico, yeah. I mean, the guy changed his name like 2 or 3 times in the short time that I knew him.
Oh, yeah.
So there was already a lot of law breaking going on over there.
Yeah, but he wasn't legal, right?
No, I'm pretty sure he wasn't legal.
No, if he changed his name, he wasn't.
No, he would come back. He would leave and then come back with a new name.
Well, all the guys that I knew back in the kitchen at that restaurant I worked at, they went to Chicago once a year.
Really?
They got a new driver's license. Mm-hmm. They got a new social
Chicago
security card.
Chicago is the big one for whatever reason.
That's where they went.
Yeah.
And I asked him what he paid. He said, what did he say? I think he said they paid $250 to get a new driver's license and social.
Huh. This guy would, he'd make films to send back to his friends back in Mexico and stuff, and he'd have us be in them. And I remember he had me and 2 other guys lined against the wall, and he was just throwing rocks at us. Not, you know, he wasn't hitting us, but he was, you know, just acting like he was throwing rocks at it, hitting us. And I don't know what the fuck he was saying. All I could hear him say every once in a while was George Bush. So this is when Junior was president, and I'm pretty sure he was saying that he was throwing rocks at George Bush and sending us back to the Mexicans.
But
and
did they
up
think
laughing.
That this guy was actually fucking tormenting you, or they knew?
I don't know. He just told us to stand against this wall, and he was going to throw rocks, but he wasn't going to hit us and act scared.
Were you going to get the $10,000 up front?
I don't know. I mean, we never got that far. I guess it was a discussion. He would talk to me about it all the time. I think I wasn't the only one he would talk to about.
So you were getting $10,000 and 3 or 4 free months of rent.
Yes. It was a hell of a deal. I mean, that's why I literally thought about it, talked to some friends about it and everything else, and everybody's like, this is probably a horrible idea, but I don't know.
I would, because think about it. Let's say, hypothetically, you marry this toad. You said she was an unattractive
toad's
woman.
Toad's probably a pretty good description.
The next day, you fucking hit the lottery. You got to give her half of it.
Yes. Yeah, I guess technically. There is all of that. I mean, when you're a 19-year-old, 20-year-old stoner pizza driver, you're not really thinking about how this is going to end.
No.
But you are right. I guess if I was to somehow get into some money, she would have half.
I mean, unless you made like a prenup.
Bring a prenup.
You're 19. Okay, when we get divorced, you're not allowed to have any part of my Xbox or my phone.
Exactly.
Or my jeans. You can't have my jeans. Because you don't own shit.
No, shit. Not at all.
I don't know, man. I might have done part of my flash 10 grand.
My La Rosa's tips. You can't have any of those.
I mean, we already know for 50,000, I'm taking the dumper.
Yeah, so, you know.
For 10 grand, marry a woman that I don't have to be married to? I'm probably in.
Yeah, I think if I was older, I probably would have been in it. I think she would have hit me up I was in my 30s and I was single.
Well, I would have had to have shit written down. Like, do I get the 10 grand up front? When we divorce, we get an annulment, you leave, how long do I have to stay married to you? That kind of, she's going to say, well, you got to stay married to me forever, but we don't have to live together or anything. You just go do your life.
I think it was after she got her citizenship and then probably a little bit after that. I think that's the way that works. I don't know. Again, I'm glad I didn't do it, really. Even though it would have made a great story.
It would have been over by now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, way over by now. But it would have made a great story to, this is my second wife, Carmen. When did you get married before? Well, funny story.
Oh, I married Consuelo back in 1998.
Yes.
You need more lemon pledge. Was she heavy? Was she a big girl?
She was a short, round one.
A short, round one.
Yeah, short, round. She looked very stereotypical Mexican housewife. You know what I mean?
Like, did she hit you up with this or the husband did?
The husband did.
He did.
Yeah, I only met her once. Yeah.
You should have said, hey. I don't want to tap that or anything, but in America, in order, you got to consummate the marriage, so I need a blowjob at least.
Hey, man.
10 grand and a BJ.
That's just the way it works in America. I'm
sorry. You probably would have said, okay, I'll give you a blowjob.
She probably would have. Why not?
Oh, why not? To get citizenship? Fuck yeah. I'm in.
They'll go through a lot of shit to get citizenship. Hey, so we got two things here. First, welcome to our newest listener from Peru.
Lima, Peru. Now, I can't even guess who that is. There's not even any famous Peruvian people, no, are there?
Not. Hey, you know who's Peruvian?
Who?
Tom Segura.
Is he really?
Yeah, his mom's.
That's who did it.
You think it's Segura?
I think it's one of Segura's relatives.
Ah, well, you've been saying nice things about him.
I think Segura heard about it and said, hey, I heard these guys are the next thing.
Yeah.
Listen to them. Tell me what you think.
You know what I hope episode they listened to?
Which
was
one?
The episode where we were going over to Biggest Cocks, because I think Peru was ranked number 7.
They were.
They were 6 or 7, so they tuned right in, and then we complimented their cocks, and now they're stuck. You know what I mean?
See,
after someone tells you you have a nice cock, you're going to keep on listening.
Hell yeah, you are. I wouldn't be surprised. I was expecting a Republic of Congo listen at some point since those guys. 7.1 inches, dude.
Yeah.
That's a fucking hog right there, and that's average.
One of those big dick motherfuckers will listen eventually. I'm sure we'll get us a Congo. I think they're busy right now, not dying from the corona. I think they're not having a good time over there. It turns out their medical system isn't the best.
I think Hong Kong's back up and like normal. Because I told you, I had a friend.
As normal as it's going to be.
I've got a buddy who lives in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And when this shit broke out, he took off and he came back to, went back to Arizona for a long while. And then he apparently has a house in London, or went to London for a long time, ended up in, I think, Dubai for a while. This guy travels around, but he wasn't taking his family. He's got 2 young kids.
Yeah.
He wasn't going back there.
No, why would
you? I know
you?
He's back there now.
Yeah. Oh, I know they're opening casinos and stuff back up in Macau. So.
Are they?
Yeah, they're getting their stuff back together. I still think they're full of shit, and there was a lot more cases and a lot more deaths than they're reporting.
Well, but, there's going to be some...
You got to remember, though, their lockdown wasn't like our lockdown.
It was much worse.
Yeah, their lockdown wasn't like, hey, you guys need to stay outside, and then you walk by a park and there's 40 people jogging.
Yeah.
Their lockdown was, hey, get inside or we're going to shoot your ass.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they took care of their lockdown a lot better than us, which probably speeded up the process.
And the thing about it is, like when the economy fucking comes at a standstill like that and in a screeching halt, you've got. Every country, especially China, has got a shit ton of money that, they could sustain. But, man, you're talking losing a lot of fucking money. So you're like, all right, let's do this lockdown and try to get our shit going again. I know that I was watching Trump the other day apparently now there's a task force on a big giant group of fucking people on how to slowly get our shit open again.
He's putting together that task force, and he's going to pick the people. So it's just going to be people that agree with him, because we know everything about Trump is every time anyone disagrees with him, he fucking fires him.
Well, yeah, but so, I'm just saying, at least
that task force
can
suck my dick. I'm sure they're not going to really know what the hell's going on.
We're
going
to open these first. We're going to open these first, blah, blah, blah. I'm anxious to see what they consider opening first. All right, you know, maybe we can do this first. Maybe we can do that first. Because, like, they were interviewing some woman.
I think it'll be more parts of the country that go first, not, like, particular business.
Is that what it'll
something.
Be?
I think so. I mean, I don't think New York can open anytime soon. They're still...
Oh, no.
I mean, they're hitting damn near 1,000 deaths a day.
Because I'm telling you, and I realize that people are fucking going crazy sitting at home.
They're burying people in some fucking island. I mean, they're just but mass Ohio's, burials.
Ohio's blowing people, blowing this shit off already. I mean, everywhere's crowded.
I think pretty much everybody's blowing things off. You know, they've had those parades for people. They have their birthdays. I've now know have two friends that have had them. And, you know,
yeah, Brandon did it for
Brandon, yeah, Brandon did. I seen that look pretty cool, sweet for his kids. I know the kids love it. Our friends, Jessica and I forget his name. Sorry. Anyways, they did one for their kid a while ago. We got some news coverage. They were the first people I seen do it. You know, cool. Whatever. Well, the other day, our neighbors did one over here. You know, whatever. They're doing it. It's for one of the ladies probably my age, so I don't know why birthdays are that important. But women are women, and they love their birthdays. So all these cars come down. They're doing the parade thing. Well, then all these motherfuckers park their car and get out, and they're all just hanging out in the front yard. I'm like, doesn't that defeat the whole fucking
the
purpose
whole
of
fucking
this thing?
Purpose. Have a party then.
Yeah, just have a party. Like, what the fuck?
See, I'm telling you, when this shit was first starting and everybody was actually fucking nervous about it, you'd go to Kroger and you might see 15, 20 people in the store. Now it's like a regular day.
Yep. Well, the thing is it's not... People hear about how horrible it is, and it is bad, but they don't have that much... Like, they don't know anybody that has it. You know what I mean? They don't know anybody that's been affected by it, because I think Cincinnati has 1,000 cases, and 1,000 in a big city isn't that much.
Indiana's got 7,000.
Well, I'm saying just Cincinnati. I think Ohio has a lot more.
3,000 something.
Either way, which is a lot of people, but it's not a lot of people at the same time.
Right.
So these people see that and they think, well, the media is just blowing. Everybody don't trust the media these days. We got a president that's spent his whole fucking career so far doing nothing but telling people not to trust the media. You know, and a lot of times they're not wrong. The media is full of shit a lot of times, and they are built on fear. And I've always said that you know, the media is just trying to scare you so you listen. But that's the problem now is now where we should be listening to the media, and they're still building it a little bit, probably more than they should. But when you got doctors going on and telling you this, fucking believe them, guys.
Yeah. I talked to my first.
It's not like it's just Anderson Cooper out there telling us to do this. These are medical professionals they've been doing this their whole life. They've been studying infectious diseases, are telling us we have to do this. And we're just like, they're on CNN. They don't know what they're talking about. Or they're on Fox News. They don't know what they're talking about.
Well, some healthcare professionals that I know, you know, I always ask their opinion because they work in offices and they, you know, talk to their doctors and whatnot.
Yeah.
Basically, the doctor's opinion from everybody I've spoken to is that this thing is never truly going to be over until there's a vaccine.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they said, even if, let's say, we nip it in the bud right here, blah, blah, blah. In November, we're looking at the same shit happening again. Because, all right, slowly going to start up again.
You got to get rid of all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's so infectious and it gets people so quickly, you have to get rid of all of it before it's going to completely disappear. Because even if you got one guy, well, it all started with one guy. And now look where we're at. You know what I mean? So, or one girl, or whatever it was.
Somebody that ate something, right?
They're saying now that the person may have not ate it. They may have been working in the spot right next to where the bats were, and it somehow got in the air. Who knows? You know, I think that's going to be so hard to actually track it. They said that it's definitely came from bat.
From a bat.
Yeah, they've narrowed that down. It's came from a bat. Now, whether it was someone eating it, because people do eat them over there, or if it was someone that just happened to be close to the bat, who knows? I don't think they've narrowed that down. Patient Zero hasn't been completely narrowed down.
No, I guess eight.
No, I mean, well, besides the 5G towers, I mean, they...
But I mean, I wonder if Patient Zero died from it.
No, she's alive.
She is alive.
She is alive. She lived. I mean, if that is, in fact, Patient Zero, they don't exactly know. You know what I mean?
Can you imagine being fucking Patient Zero?
Oh.
And look what you've done to the fucking world.
Especially if you're the bat eater.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it'd be one thing if Patient Zero actually came from someone that didn't eat bat, just happened to work in the market right next to a bat, and the bat coughed on him or whatever the fuck happened. I have no clue how that works. But
I remember the one time I was doing some traveling, and innocently, I just fucked one monkey. Next thing you know, this AIDS thing is all over the fucking place.
That's a shame, man.
I said, God, I didn't even know that fucking one monkey is going to cause all this shit.
And some of those monkeys got some asses on them.
They
know what I mean?
I did one with the big red one.
Yeah. That's nice.
Big baboon ass.
Yeah, those are nice. I don't blame you. You know, if no one's looking, I might pop one in that real quick, too.
Nobody would look. Hey. I mean, fine. Who's going to watch you pound a monkey? You know what? I'd probably
watch someone I would fuck too. A monkey at least once.
I watched the donkey thing once.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is all these things I'd watch once. There's so much weird shit that I'd watch once or I'd want to see 10 seconds of it just to see how this works.
See, I'm thinking more than 10 seconds. If I went around a corner and some guy was getting ready to put his dick in a monkey, I'm watching it to completion.
To completion.
Because I want to see the look on his face if he's really enjoying himself. I want to see the look on the monkey's face.
I want to see the monkey's face. I'm much more interested in that. If the guy's fucking the monkey, then obviously he's getting some kind of joy out of it. But
I mean, if the monkey,
that's a whole different story.
Over his ass, really enjoying it, you know? Yeah. I want to see that.
The monkey reaches back and tickles his balls.
I bet the monkeys in the Congo don't like it, though.
You know? Oh, no way. No way. No.
Fuck, why do we got to live here?
Yeah, those 7.5-inch average dongs.
Me and the family are moving to North Korea.
I mean, you got old fucking, you know, that only maybe has like a 6-inch dong. And in the rest of the world, that guy's doing fine for himself.
But I mean,
but over there,
that.
He's bringing down the average.
But imagine that. It was a 7.1 size dick in the Congo and 3.8 inches in Korea.
That's not even fair.
It's almost twice the size. And that's a fucking average, dude.
Yeah.
And I think in America, it's like 5.
5.5, something like that. 5, something.
I mean, so we're probably like right in the fucking middle.
Yeah.
But 7, that's a good
dog. We're a melting pot. That makes sense that we'd be in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, everybody melts together. We get the average.
Yeah, we are average.
Hey, we got an email from our boy, GetPussy69.
Today he is, let me take a guess.
All right.
Today he is Snatch Grabber.
Well, you're close.
Am I really?
Yeah, it's Snatch Liquor.
Nice.
You did nail snatch.
Well, he's used every other fucking word for vagina.
He gets around. All right, shut up, Cincinnati. Who are your guys' favorite porn stars of all time and why? And have you ever met any of them in real life?
I met one porn star when I was DJing at the Titty Bar.
Yeah.
Sunset Thomas was her name.
I know that name.
She ended up marrying that dude, Dennis, whatever, that owned the big brothel. She ended up marrying her. She was a porn star. She did one thing there. And then another big porn star did another event there. But literally nobody got to meet her. She was in the fucking limo.
Mm-hmm. Limo.
Well, they pulled her up in a fucking limo van, whatever the fuck. She came from a hotel and she came in, did her thing, and fucking was gone.
That's the only place that these fucking girls get treated like queens.
Oh, yeah.
Is it when they go to strip clubs?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They get the limo service and shit, and they get to act all snooty. The rest of the time, I was like, ew, who's this whore? Yeah.
I've got three favorite porn stars of all time. All
right.
I was a gigantic Nina Hartley guy when I was young.
Okay.
That was my... You look at her today, she's still doing porn today.
Yeah.
Her face is beautiful, but man, her ass grew sideways. Huge. But when she was young, she was a smoker.
All right.
Stephanie Swift was always one of my favorites. A little brunette thing. Fucking loved her. And then as far as new porn goes, what's her name? The famous one, the real famous one, Jenna Jameson. I was a big Jenna Jameson guy for her lesbian scenes.
I wouldn't exactly call her new, but...
Well, to me, that's new.
I got you.
I'm into amateur stuff now, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I couldn't tell you a porn star these days. Okay, again, I've never really been a porn star guy. I mean, I've been in the amateur for a long time now, but even before that, I was never really a porn star guy. But... I did like a girl named Devin. I don't even remember her last name. I don't think she was like a Madonna. You know, you didn't have a last name. I know she worked for Vivid.
Okay.
So it was one of those real hot blonde girl. I'm not really even into blondes these days, but at that time, real hot blonde girl. And then another one was Janine.
Another one-namer?
I forget her last name. It was like Jeanine Harmon or something like that. She was in. She was famous for doing the cover of the Blink 182 album.
Oh,
where
okay.
She had the glove, and I believe she was also in one of the videos with them and stuff.
So you watched some of her scenes?
She was covered in tattoos, real hot blonde again. Yeah, I've seen the Jenna Jameson one. She's obviously hot. Like you said, I remember doing mostly lesbian stuff too.
You know,
I think she started doing regular porn, but then she got so famous that she didn't have to. So why? You know what I mean?
I'm really not sexually turned on by the covered in tattoos thing. I'm just not.
Oh, I see. I like it. I'm not sexually turned on by giant fake tits. And that's the problem with most of those porn girls.
Or black dicks. You don't like that either.
Well, I don't like any kind of dicks on my women. So,
you know, when he said, hey, what's your top three porn stars? I was going to say Ron Jeremy, John Holmes.
Yeah. I typically don't like dicks on my porn stars. It's just me, you know.
You know, there was also when Nina Hartley was doing her thing, there was a girl named Porsche Lynn. God, just smoking hot, smoking hot. Now, back then, that's the only porn we had. Yeah, you had famous people.
Yeah,
there was
for
no
the most
amateur
part.
Porn. Yeah, so you watched some of those. Now, I did watch a couple of Tracy Lord's videos, and then I felt dirty later finding out she was only 16 when she did it.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, that fucked me
up. I mean, no one knew, but yeah, that's super weird.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. I remember I watched one movie. This guy banged 101 girls. I think it was. They think they said it was over a 3-day period. There was a line of fucking women
3 days
standing around a tennis court.
To completion every time, or you just stick it in for a little bit?
It couldn't have been to completion every time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been girls that have done that, but the guys usually have to be...
It was called The World's Luckiest Guy.
Yeah.
That was the name of the movie, and he banged 101 women. And no, there's no way he came 101 times in 3 days.
Well, no, there was that one girl, though. What was it, One Night in Houston or something like that?
Yeah.
Where she had 100 and something loads blown in her.
Yeah, all back to back.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said that when they did that movie, they had like 20 fluffers.
They have to.
They had these guys ready to nut.
Yeah,
they were ready. So all you do is stick it in for a couple of pumps, and then, you know, you're done.
Yeah, because think of after fucking, I would imagine after like four, this chick probably can't even feel her pussy anymore. So, you know, like, come on.
Yeah, but these guys weren't in her for more than a few seconds.
Yeah. Ugh.
Because they had these fluffers. Now, what kind of a fucking job would that be? You're not hot enough to be in the movie.
Yeah, you're just...
You're standing off camera stroking dicks and sucking dicks until they're ready to nut. That's your job. Mom, congratulate me. I'm a fluffer.
I bet you that he couldn't pay that much either. You know
There's
what
no
mean?
Way. You weren't on porn camera.
Porn didn't really pay much to begin with unless you're one of the big stars. You know,
maybe it was one of those like internship things where you want to be a porn star later.
Yeah.
Show us what you can do here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like doctors have to do their, what's that called? Their
internship? Residency?
Yeah, the residency. That's the porn star residency.
It is.
A fluffer.
Got to be a fluffer.
Huh. You got to put 3 years in as a fluffer and then you can get that contract with Vivid. Now, that company was gigantic.
Gigantic.
In the 90s. Yeah. And I think early 2000s. So basically, the internet killed the porn industry.
It killed the
money part of it.
That's what they say, you know, killed the concerts or the musicians thing. And then the guys are like, fuck it. Everybody has to tour, which was good for us.
Yeah, good. Get out there,
you
tour.
Know, a lot of these bands just put out albums, but they might tour once every 3 years.
Well, it hurt rappers bad because rappers just aren't tour types. You know what
I
mean?
No, and you know what I read about the rap industry? A lot of these guys, God, I hate to use a euphemism, but there's so many fucking guys up there that are trying to be rappers that they literally have to sign and sell their soul for fucking no money.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting 2 pennies off each one of these CDs that sells. You ain't getting shit.
Yeah.
Prove it for a couple albums, then you'll start making the money.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's for almost any kind of musician, I think.
Yeah, it is. But rap, I think, is harder because, you know,
there are a dime a dozen.
There's a billion of them.
Well, there's a billion bands, though.
Yeah, but most of these bands don't have any fucking aspirations of going famous because they know they're not. They start off as cover bands. Hey, we're going to go do bars by the fucking airport and do fucking, you know, tribute bands and shit like that.
See, I've been in bands for most of my life. I stopped about 2008 when I stopped being in bands. Before then, I was in a shitload of them. Never once was in a cover band.
Never.
It never appealed to me. It was never something I would want to do. I mean, we would do maybe a cover every so often, you know, and we make it our own. We would never try
to
sound like
the thing.
You're
going to get a lot more gigs if you're a cover band.
Yeah, but that was never our thing either. I never really cared about making money. you know, it was more about making music, you know, and having fun doing that kind of thing. And I never found much joy in doing cover songs, at least being a whole cover band. Like I said, it would be fun every once in a while do our own little take on a song or something like that. But to just do a song straight up and then do that for fucking 2 hours, yeah. I have no interest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just that never appealed to me.
But I mean, like, look at that local band, the Rusty Griswolds.
Yeah, well, look at that. You know,
those guys make a fucking hell of a living doing 80s music.
Or the naked,
that's all they do, 80s
the naked
music.
Karate Girls in Cincinnati, yeah. Who, by the way, fucking suck. All right? The guy can't hit shit with the notes. The musicians are good. The drummer's damn good. But overall, it just cracked me up. I've seen some friends online watching their show online. Like, I couldn't imagine how fucking bored I have to be to watch a cover band on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ. Like, what the fuck? Why? Because they wear funny outfits?
Like, they do, too.
Yeah, fuck yourself.
They play up by my house all the time at the Knotty Pine. They play there all the time.
They do great for themselves, money-wise and everything. Good for them. I mean, they're making money. They're making a career out of it, kind of. I don't know how long that lasts. But I don't know.
If you can pay your bills doing what you like doing, hey, more power to you.
Just someone that's wrote a lot of songs in my life, I just have a hard time respecting that. I mean, I understand doing it for fun on the weekends, being in the cover band with a couple friends and playing some bars and stuff like that, but put that much effort into being a cover band, just, I don't know.
Well,
what about
those bands that only do one other band's music?
You know, like the tribute bands?
Yeah, total tribute bands that tour around.
Yeah, the one that comes to mind right at the top of my head is Bad Fish, the cover band that's been doing Sublime covers ever since Sublime died, basically.
Yeah.
And now, basically, Sublime is a Sublime cover band. You know, they got a new singer and they do.
See,
awesome.
I hate that.
I hate it too.
I fucking hate that.
I will not watch that. And I know that Rome guy that's with Sublime now is a good singer and they put out some music. And to me, it's just like a bad ripoff of old Sublime stuff, even though the two other guys in the band are, you know, Sublime.
Yeah.
You know, the drummer and the bass player. But Sublime was Bradley Nowell.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
So I don't, you know, I like those other two guys. They're good musicians, but they weren't the band. It's
well, no,
a different
because
thing.
Very few bands have the same original members.
No, could you imagine if Nirvana went and got a new Kurt Cobain? Like,
nobody would listen.
I remember Alice in Chains tried that. Fucking sucked.
Oh, yeah. What was the guy's name from Alice in Chains that died?
Lane Stanley. Yeah, they had some black dude was playing with him for a while.
Yeah.
No, I'm not interested.
Well, NXS had fucking, when Michael Hutchins died, they had two or three guys.
Yeah.
They did a fucking reality show to get a singer.
Really?
But do you remember back in the 80s that black guy, Terrence Trent D'Arby, he did that song Wishing Well and blah, blah, Dance Little Sister. It was cool. He had some cool tunes in the 80s.
Yeah.
He toured with them 1 year as their lead singer.
Really?
But a band like NXS, you want to hear that voice.
Now, who has done a good job of that? The only one that comes
Journey.
Journey to a certain extent, but Journey hasn't put out any hits since then. The guy comes out and he sings their songs and he has
a
great voice.
They've had two albums since he's been with them.
But I'm saying they continued on and did well, and I can only think of one, which is Van Halen.
Foreigner.
Foreigner did?
Foreigner. Okay. Foreigner made it big with Lou Gramm.
Okay.
And now for the last 20 years, when Lou Gramm left, Lou Gramm made all the hits.
Mm-hmm.
They got this guy who's probably the best frontman doing fucking touring right now. Kelly something is his name. This guy fucking nails everything.
Really?
Yeah, he's badass.
See, I always just think of Van Halen because obviously with David Lee Roth, they were huge. David Lee Roth went and did David Lee Roth things and then they replaced him and it completely changed the sound of Van Halen, but they still had giant hits after that.
They did.
With old Sammy Hagar.
Well, it's like right now they've got Stone Temple Pilots touring.
Again, not interested.
I'm not, without Scott Weiland.
No, he was that band.
He was that band.
And I don't know if he wrote the songs or not, but that guy's voice was the band.
Yeah. And I remember when he went over with Slash and did Velvet Revolver.
Yeah, it was all right.
I liked Velvet Revolver.
Yeah, they had some all right songs.
They were a little cheesy, but it was what? It was Duff McKagan.
No, I like them better than I liked Audioslave, which was all right around the same time where
two bands
came together.
I'm a Chris Cornell guy. I always am.
I love Chris Cornell, but I didn't like that band. And yeah. I loved Rage Against the Machine growing up. I still love Tom Morello. He's one of the most innovative guitar players that has been in the last 30 years. I mean, really, he's the only one I can think of that's been innovative. I'm sure there's been some other ones, but I mean, you know, once a guitar has been played for so long, it's hard to come up with something new.
Well,
he came up with something new.
But you were a Rage and a Pantera guy?
Yeah.
So you liked them both?
Yeah. Why? Well, you're not supposed to like them. They're not even the same era, in my opinion.
No, but what I'm saying is, I think, God, how am I going to put this right? There was a few bands that I think kind of copied other bands and then took it on their own. Because Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Well, Pearl Jam's were after Nirvana.
Yeah, but they sounded nothing like Nirvana.
No, but at their first kind of things, they were going for the same grunge type of beater stuff. Mm-hmm. stuff. But then they're like, hey, this guy, Eddie Vedder's got a pretty fucking cool
voice.
Now,
see, Pearl Jam to me, Nirvana was kind of different in the Seattle scene. I thought Pearl Jam was more, if you're going to say they're some kind of, well, not ripoff, but if they were influenced, Soundgarden, I would think, would be their influence.
Wasn't Sonic Youth a Seattle grunge band?
Yeah, they were considered grunge. I never really considered them really grunge. They were kind of
But they were out of Seattle.
They were experimental and stuff, yeah. Seattle had a weird scene. I mean, everybody books them in as like a grunge thing, but not that many of those bands sound that much alike.
No.
You know, like I said, I kind of see the Chris Cornell, Eddie Vedder connection there.
Yeah.
You know, their voices are kind of both croony and whatnot. They can both sing. Nirvana really didn't sound like any of them.
No.
Sonic Youth sounded like nothing like any of them.
Nirvana was definitely the edgiest.
Now, Nirvana maybe musically sounds like a band like Mudhoney, who was a big Seattle band at that time.
I liked Mudhoney.
I did too. I've seen them before. But, you know, Kurt Cobain had his own thing. That guy was, you know, he was a hell of a songwriter.
And again, it was only three guys. That's what impressed me the most. I mean, when you got someone like Dave Grohl, you could pull anything off.
Now, he wasn't their original drummer.
Yeah, I know. But he was
second.
Yeah.
But he played the majority of their stuff.
Ringo wasn't the original drummer either.
Yeah, but Ringo was the man.
Yeah, Ringo is the man.
He's going to outlive them all. It's such a shame.
Oh, you know he's going to be the last one. He's definitely going to outlive
Paul. Oh, he's already the last one because Chris told us last week that Paul McCartney's dead. So
yeah, it's a clone.
Yeah,
he's got a clone.
Yeah, so Ringo has already lasted all of them. That's pretty good.
All right, what's his next question? We got another one?
So it turns out Paul McCartney was the first one that died.
Oh, yeah. If you played the album backwards, it says that Paul was buried and all that shit. I was alive back then.
All right. Top three Disney movies. Now, that just cracks me up that this guy is calling or writing us in every week talking about porn stars and noises that vaginas make and putting our dicks in between butt cheeks while we're sleeping and stuff. And then he's going to pop top three Disney movies.
See, do you count Pixar?
Tough one. You have to. If it's Disney, it's Disney. Wait a minute. Is Pixar Disney, though?
Disney Pixar.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then, you count it.
Oh, fuck.
They're going with it. I know. For one thing, I've never been a kid movie guy. I've just been that guy. My wife gives me shit about that all the time, that I never really watched cartoons much as a kid. I grew up too fast. So this is a tough one for me.
I like Toy Story.
Toy Story's a decent movie.
I like Shrek. Was that a Disney movie, Shrek?
Sure. I don't fucking know.
Fuck, I don't know either. I'm just going by ones that I watched with my kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's some ones that aren't cartoons that are Disney movies, but I don't know what the fuck they are.
Okay, like Mighty Ducks. That was a Disney movie. I did like that movie.
Emilio Estevez.
Yeah, but then again, I was a kid when it came out. So
yeah, did you like Mighty Ducks 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5
just
first?
One. Just one. Emilio! besides Pirates of the Caribbean. That's a Disney movie.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I remember that first came out. I like that a lot. I'll give that one of mine. You know, and then you got classics like the fucking Lion King.
All that shit was
Pinocchio,
awesome.
Pinocchio, 101 Dalmatians. You know which one I did like a lot? Jungle Book.
Oh, I like Jungle Book.
I liked the Jungle Book growing up.
Yeah, I'll throw in Jungle Book. It was a good one. Lion King was a great one. But what a weird fucking question from porn stars to Disney.
It is a weird one. Fantasia, I like that. If you ever take some acid and watch Fantasia, that's a great time.
And his next question is, what Disney movie would you like to see your favorite porn star do a recreation of?
Yeah, we're going right to the next question.
I want to see Ron Jeremy doing Pinocchio.
You know what I've noticed with old Wet Schniz? he usually gives us two good questions and just a turd.
That's got to be the turd.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, not that that's a bad question, but it just, with everything else we talk about, it's just a weird fucking question. I almost feel perverted answering it. You know? it's unintentionally, like, that's the part that really weirds me out, is answering the Disney questions. So we're going to skip that. If you want to talk Disney movies, call our friend there, Kevin Connor. He likes going to Disneyland with his male friends and getting pedicures and doing whatever. Yeah, sure, straight. Mm-hmm. Anyhow.
You mean Kevin O'Connor?
Kevin O'Connor.
Does he have another question? Does he have one
more?
Yeah,
he got one more. He always gets three.
All right.
If you're having sex doggy style, this is right after the Disney
right
one.
Right after the Disney one. You twisted fuck.
So porn stars Disney and then doggy style. All right, I got you. If you're having sex doggy style and the girl farts and you can smell it, would you hurry up and finish or just stop and call it a night? Not even a question for me, buddy. I'm finishing. What do you think? A fart's going to slow me down? A fart? Come on. She'd have to blow turd on my dick for me to pull out.
See, my fucked up sense of humor, I'd probably be laughing I don't know if I'd be able to finish.
Okay, but I'm definitely not going, oh, I'm done here.
The good news for me is doggy style. I don't like to do it very often because I come too fast.
Makes sense.
You know, there's a million positions. You can ride me for a month. I ain't nothing. But doggy style, I'm done quick. So I think I could get over it. I'd probably I'd be so fucking grossed out, but I'd be laughing so hard. I mean, would the girl lean back, look back at you and say, I'm sorry, or oops, or anything, or just keep going? What the fuck? I mean, because if you're doing a doggy style, chances are your hand's on their butt, so you're looking at the butthole.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I mean, just because your hand's there, don't mean you're sitting there staring at it.
You're going to watch it cough at you, you know?
That's cool, though. I like looking at a fart in real time.
I think I'm finishing.
I'm finishing. There's no question about it for me. definitely not stopping cold on a night. What kind of fucking pussy are you if you're stopping after a fart?
You know, I think I'd probably try to get revenge. I'd probably try to work one up and maybe cup and release it in her direction.
Try to
know?
Talk her into a 69, though, and then let one loose. Especially if you can get that Ryan 69 where you're eating buttholes and singing The Little Mermaid or whatever he does.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm finishing.
Yeah, that's no question there. I am finishing. I think you are, too, there, Get Pussy 69. I'm going to use this as a chance to thank our buddy Get Pussy 69 and roll into something else. And that Get Pussy 69 was one of our donations for our pizza thing we're doing for the nurses.
Very nice.
So get Pussy 69, maybe a crass motherfucker, but he cares.
And I will tell you guys, it's been, in my opinion, you know, we did this just on a fucking whim. It's been overwhelming how many people are fucking generous during these tough times, you know.
It's been
giving
awesome.
What they can.
I can't believe some of the donations we've got. And, you know, a lot of them from our coworkers, and we know where they're at financially because we're in the same situation.
Right.
We're in a big standstill. We have no fucking clue about our future. So the fact that some of these people are willing to give, and I don't care whether it's $5 or fucking $100, that you're willing to give anything, it shows me a lot about you.
Yeah,
we appreciate it. That's awesome. And you know, the people that are going to appreciate it more are these frontline workers who are going to, you know, it's just a pizza. And it's just lunch form or whatever, but it shows that people are out there thinking about them.
Yeah, and obviously a lot of people, because our donations have been, we've had a lot of donations.
Yeah.
And it's been fucking great, and we're going to be doing this next Friday. We've got big thanks to our volunteers. We've got Bob and Christina on the west side.
West side!
Alex and Nick are going to cover the east, and my man Shingo and Maddie will be covering the north side. So, guys, we're not just giving pizzas to one hospital. We're spreading it around. We're hitting
damn near all the hospitals in the immediate tri-state area, really. Well, not tri-state, but in the immediate Ohio area, and then we're going to hit one in Kentucky.
We got a lot of pizzas.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I've been overwhelmed with emotion. Like, I love it. I love waking up and seeing another donation in the box.
Me too.
It's awesome. I just didn't expect it, I guess.
We're getting donations from people whose unemployment hasn't started coming in yet. You know, these people are worried about this, they're worried about that, and they're like, fuck it, you know what, this is something I got to give to.
And I've had quite a few people apologize for not being able to give more, and it's like, you don't understand how much you've gave. You know what I mean? These people are giving me $50 and saying sorry. It's like, you gave me $50. You know, that's a significant amount of money. I mean,
absolutely.
We're getting pizzas for $6 a piece, so $50 is buying a lot of pizza.
I mean, and to me, the guy who gives $5,
I appreciate that just as much.
Just as much, because, you know, he wants to give. He wants to say thanks to these people who are working so hard. He just doesn't have any money, but he still finds something to give. I think that's incredible.
I do, too.
And I can't thank you guys enough for the donations. Believe me, every single penny is going to go to taking care of these frontline workers.
Yes.
We're not doing it. We didn't do a GoFundMe, so there won't be anything. The only thing that will come out of it is the $25 an hour that Jason and I are keeping to
well, you know, gotta get something out of this.
No, but literally, guys, every single donated penny is going to be going to feed a nurse, a doctor, an orderly, somebody who's putting themselves in harm's way every day to take care of us.
Yeah,
so it's a cool deal.
My pay from this isn't monetary. It's getting out of the fucking house for a little while that day.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying not to catch the corona, I guess. If I go to all these fucking hospitals, I ain't gonna lie to you, I'll be a little worried.
Well, from what I've been contacting all the hospitals and telling them we're coming and all that stuff. And for the most part, we're not allowed to go in.
Yeah.
Basically, we call them, you know, when we're getting ready to pull up there. Someone's going to meet us at the door. Guys, we're going to take pictures of everybody and just, you know, we're going to show you where your generosity went. And for those of you who couldn't donate, hey, don't feel bad about it. I'm sure if you could have, you would have.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a big thanks to everybody who did, including the guys who are volunteering to help us deliver all these pizzas. Originally, Jason and I were going to try to do it. And when the donations got so big, there's just no way we could have.
No, not unless people want 3-hour-old cold pizzas.
You know? Yeah. So,
like, thank you. Here's cold-ass pepperoni.
And a big thanks also to the guys at the Papa John's locations who are cutting us this great deal. They're giving us these large pizzas for $6. Guys, we have got a lot of donations. We're going to feed fucking everybody.
Yeah, very happy about this. Very, very happy. Did not expect this. When we originally put this together and our engineer, Nick, swore $100 to it, I was very impressed with that amount. And I'm just like, you know, me and Chris each did 50. So we're at $200 right there. And I was thinking maybe we'd get to 400, you know, maybe we'd double what we put in. And no, we're way ahead of that right now.
Way ahead of that right now.
So I'm ecstatic about it. It's awesome.
Yeah. We were sitting there thinking, well, maybe we can deliver to 2 or 3 hospitals. Guys, we're hitting them all. And it's all because of you guys and the fucking selflessness you've shown in helping these people out. It's pretty cool.
And we're using this as an excuse to make some Shut Up Cincinnati shirts that we're going to wear, and I'll probably have some left over, and I'll be selling those for damn near cost. So after it's done, I'll let everybody know what sizes we have left and everything else.
And when this is over, guys, I will say, because this has gotten so big, after that, we're going to start taking donations. Jason wants a new leather sectional.
Yeah, I would like a new leather sectional.
We're going to be taking donations for a leather sectional.
Chris wants a new sex swing, so we're going to get one of those.
Because with this fucking coronavirus, I've gained 5 pounds, and I keep breaking mine.
Yeah, you got to get the reinforced one.
Plus, it's no fun sitting there when you know nobody's coming.
Just, you think anyone with a sex swing's getting those and then just jerk off?
You know, I had a sex swing once.
Really?
Yeah.
You own one, you freak.
Well, the only reason I owned one, and I never did it. I hung it up once to see, and my ex-wife, no fucking way. It's just not going to happen.
She's like, I went to medical school. You think I'm hopping on this fucking thing?
No, the thing about it is, at the club, one of our big sponsors was Pure Romance.
Oh, okay.
And they would come in all the time and they would, you know, pass out samples. Here's a lube sample. Here's this sample, whatever. And then they would sell their stuff in there cheap. You know, they would give you a discount on it. And they would always give me, you know, being the DJ, they would give me stuff. Hey, here's a really cool little hand vibrator, whatever. One day this girl goes, hey, I got this. Here, take it and give me a fucking sex swing.
Wow.
And all it was is 3 straps and some rope, you know. A leg went in each strap, and then a strap came up and supported your back, and it was tied on there. It was very. I jumped into it once because I hung it in the basement because I wanted to see if I thought this would be comfortable at all.
Shit, I would have loved
it. It absolutely
seen that.
Was agonizing.
I don't
hurt.
Think it was for the guy to get in.
No, but nobody I knew was going to get in it.
True.
So I climbed in it to see. Hey, I wonder if a girl would like this. Well, there's no fucking way.
Yeah.
That thing was uncomfortable. It hurt like a motherfucker, and the whole time you were scared you were going to fall.
Apparently, Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee liked them. They had one hanging in their living room.
Did they really?
Yeah, I remember they did one of those.
Well, they
cribs.
Got some deluxe ones that are almost like a fucking hanging chair. This was just straight
pieces
of burlap
strap. I'm sure they had the best sex swing that
could
be
bought. Yeah, they had a good one.
You're right.
But no, the sex swing was a big no-go. But
you can just make them yourself.
Ones.
You can get one. If you steal one of those swings from the playground that the kids get in, the little bucket ones, and then you just put a little hole where the ass vagina area would
be. Or how about a tire?
A tire? You could, man.
You could do a tire. The girl could straddle the tire, and then you could, if you had the fucking strength, that you could hold on to the tire underneath and hit
it's
it from
like
the bottom.
A hillbilly sex swing there.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be bad, I guess.
Oh, I got messages.
You got messages.
I wonder if someone's trying to call in.
Probably not.
No.
Now my friend's just sitting here.
No, it's this here.
Oh, that's a shame.
Okay, Easter. Someone just saying Happy Easter to me.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
But we're gonna get off the thing, guys. We're gonna update you on the fundraiser. But so far, guys, you've exceeded our expectations times 10. So thanks again. It's really a cool thing you did.
So does Easter mean anything to you?
It did when I was a kid. I grew up Catholic.
Okay.
And Easter in my house was always, you know, like I told you, I've got a lot of really hardcore Catholics in my house. Mm-hmm. But my mom was always Catholic, but she was never on the hardcore
side.
Yeah,
my dad's a Catholic, but he
but my
shit.
Mom always had, we had the whole family over, and my mom cooked a ham, and, yeah. and you know, we had a big party for it, but Easter egg hunt, all that shit.
But it was always that kind of, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, Easter to me has always been a family holiday, and we still, you know, I'm an atheist, and I've still always, I guess you could say, celebrated, and then I'll still do Easter dinners and still buy the things for the kids and shit like that.
Yeah.
And my wife's a Christian, but it's just never, I don't know, we're not church people regardless. We're not going to Mass, we're not going to any kind of church service, and it's not really any religion mentioned. It's just about this big-ass bunny. It's the trippiest holiday, really, when you think about it.
It really is.
Like, what it's turned into. And I don't know the origin of why it became that, do you?
No fucking idea.
It's a weird thing.
I mean, is Jesus getting resurrected, and then, okay,
no, well, I know that origin.
Well, yeah, but then somebody turned that into, well, let's get a big, huge rabbit
to
walk around and deliver colored eggs and candy to everybody.
How much drugs did someone have to be on when they came up with this idea?
It just shows you how fucking commercial this fucking country has become.
It's not just this country, is it? Is Easter just an American thing? I mean, the Easter
Bunny?
It's
a Catholic thing.
I know that, but it's everybody.
A Christian thing.
It's a Christian thing, but I'm saying the Easter Bunny, is that just an American thing?
I don't know.
I mean, because Santa's worldwide. Or maybe not worldwide, but it's a lot more places
Santa's
than just America.
Real. The Easter Bunny's not.
Good point. You're right.
I'm just saying that
it is a lot more believable. I'll give it that.
And these big corporations, honestly, they take these holidays, and I mean, whoever the fuck invented Sweetest Day, I want to kick them in the nuts. Okay, you've already got Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
But some fucking Hallmark company created Sweetest Day so you could spend $1 billion on cards and more presents on another fucking day. I want to throat punch you and stick something sharp in your asshole.
You know what I appreciate with Sweetest Day is that they spaced it out well, at least.
You know, I don't appreciate shit for Sweetest Day. Fuck you, whoever invented it. You're a fucking money grubbing motherfucker.
That's me and my wife's dating anniversary, Sweetest Day.
Oh God, so I hate you.
We've always kind of remembered it because of that. And I don't even know if it was just a day we could remember.
Well,
it was,
yeah,
like,
and I get
just
that.
To pick a holiday.
Now they don't expect that anymore. Now they expect the fucking jewelry to come with it. Yeah, these fucking women, they look at you like a shithead if you don't come home with a fucking bracelet or a necklace. You just give them a card, see how that goes.
We stopped doing Sweetest Day, and I don't know, my wife, because I used to go pretty hard on holidays when we were dating.
Yeah, of course you do when you're dating. Everybody does.
Yeah.
But you've got a pretty, from what I gather about your wife, she's pretty low maintenance. I don't think she's asking for a whole bunch.
She is, but I wonder if she's a little disappointed that I've not continued on that tradition of spoiling her on Sweetest Day.
I'm sure you give her a present on Valentine's Day.
Typically, yes, Valentine's Day.
A hell of a present on your anniversary.
You know what sucks, though, this year is I got her tickets to go see Harry Potter in New York, which we were supposed to leave next month, which obviously isn't happening.
Oh, God, you did get her that,
and,
didn't you?
Yeah, and then thank God I didn't book the hotel or anything yet, so I don't have to worry about that. They pushed the Broadway back, said they can do it in October. Well, I don't know if I'll be able to
do it
in October.
God, what'd those tickets cost for a Broadway show of Harry Potter?
Ooh, right around, I think for two of them was like $220.
That's not bad.
And no, I mean, we're up there. We're not getting front row seats.
You're on fucking Broadway, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if it's Broadway or if it's off Broadway. I don't understand that out there.
Well.
But it's a big production. I mean, it looks cool. I'm not even a Harry Potter guy, but I was kind of looking forward to seeing it. I've never went and seen a big play like that in New York. So
no, fuck no. I've never even been to New York. I really want to go.
Dude, I love it.
I think it's one place everyone needs to go before they die.
I do agree. The one thing I will say about New York is I would recommend to stay for a week.
A whole week.
If you're going to go, more than like 2 days. You know what I mean? You need at least 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, but see, I want to stay in Manhattan.
Yeah, good luck.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, not good luck. That's where we were going to stay, too. You can get affordable places there.
In Manhattan?
Yeah, you just can't get parking.
Well, no, you just fly out there and take cab like everybody else.
You'd have to do that, yeah.
Subway. But, I mean, I want to, I just think, I mean, like I said, I've always been fucking affixed on the Statue of Liberty. I want to stand underneath and stare up at it, and I want to walk through Central Park. I want to see all of it. Mm-hmm. I want to see 3 million people walking on the street with me.
It's intense. It's very intense, man. In Times Square, walking around and just how crowded it is, no matter what time.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember being at 1 a.m. and walking around down there, and it's still fucking packed. You know, people are still selling hot dogs on the side of the street. It's a fun city, man. I love the subways there. I could literally, you know, and I did that time, I could just get high and ride on the subways and enjoy myself just because it's...
But those can be pretty fucking dangerous too, can't they?
I never felt danger. Never.
Never.
We stayed in Queens. It got a little spotty, I will say. We went from Queens. We went to the Bronx Zoo one day, right? And it was funny. When you're on the subway in Queens and then go through Manhattan into the Bronx and stuff, how the subway changes. And that you're in Queens, there's a lot of Spanish people, I think Puerto Ricans mostly, you know, white people, black people, you know, a mix. You get into Manhattan, all of a sudden there's a lot of Asians on the thing. There's, you know, white people are no matter where. Once you cross over into the Bronx area, it's getting blacker and blacker. By the time you get to the Bronx, the only people that aren't black on that fucking subway are the people going to the zoo. So we get off and go to the zoo, and the zoo is a little bit of a walk from the train station. And I don't know if the Bronx is still like this. This was in 2001. You got to walk through a real ghetto fucking area. And it's funny because the people that are walking to the zoo are like in a single file line on one side of the street. And the other side of the street is just a bunch of people hanging out on the stoop, yelling at the people going to the zoo and shit. Just giving them shit. And they're just hanging out. And they probably do that every day. Just hang out on their porch like, hey, what's up, white boys? You know, shit like that.
I mean, New York is,
and they're probably
New
having
Yorkers
a good time.
Are different animals.
But when you hear all these stories about New York and everything else, and you hear the Bronx and all this stuff growing up, you know, listen to all this rap music, you get a little nervous when you're in that area. Now, we didn't actually have anyone fuck with us, and it was a great time. But that was the only time, the whole time in New York, where I even felt a tinge of like, uh-oh. You know what I mean? Like, every other time, I had no problem. The subways were really easy. I mean, they're kind of scuzzy or whatever, but who cares? They're underground.
Well, I mean, I want to ride a subway because I've never ridden one. That's one of the reasons why I want to go to New York. I want to see all this shit.
I loved it, man. I would have liked to spend a little bit more time. One night we got drunk and ended up in a gay pride parade. We didn't know we were marching in the gay pride parade.
Good for you.
It was a great fucking time.
Good for you.
We were just seeing this parade and we're wasted. We're like, let's walk with them. We're walking. It ends up in this park down in the village, like Greenwich Village.
Yeah, that's a predominantly gay area.
Yeah, we don't even know where we're at. All right. We're drunk at fucking doing some day drinking in New York at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
End up in this parade. We end up in this park. And they're all sitting around singing songs. There's like three people with acoustic guitars. Everybody's singing. It's a great time. Then we're just looking around noticing, wait a second. It's all, you know, it's guy with guy, you know, everybody hanging on each other, kissing and stuff. We're like, oh, all right.
See, now if you really wanted to blend in, you should have just grabbed your buddy and shoved your tongue down his throat.
Old Uncle Chuck just fucking got him. No, it didn't slow us down, though. We just like, oh, okay, we're at a gay pride parade. It. All right, let's sing this Elton John song. It was a great time.
I marched in the gay pride parade this year.
Oh, yeah?
Fuck yeah, I did.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about any of that stuff.
I just thought
it was funny it was a surprise to us. We didn't know. We were just that fucked up and naive. We didn't realize we were marching in the gay pride parade.
Well, I'll tell you what. This one was actually, I didn't know what to expect when I went down to this one. I went, took my son, Nate, and we didn't march in the parade. We walked along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to the fucking park at the end of the parade. It was really cool. And they had all these inflatable jump houses and shit that you can jump in. And everything was free. And then all these food things. And I was like, well, this is cool. I'm wearing a T-shirt that says free dad hugs. And I'm getting hugged from all these fucking people. And my son's, you know, I don't want my son to grow up, you know, not knowing what's out there. I want him to see everybody and, you know, see that everybody's the fucking same and all that stuff, you know. And we're riding all these rides, and he's having a great time. And then I said, well, I'm going to keep him here until the booze starts flowing, because I think it'll get pretty crazy down there when the booze starts flowing.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And all of a sudden, we're standing in line for this one bounce house. People have been drinking for a couple hours. I turn around. There's this guy in full drag standing behind me and my 7-year-old son with a necklace on made out of dildos and butt plugs. He's got assless fucking chaps on.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's time to go.
All right, let's get out of
here. Yeah, let's go.
You know,
that around his neck?
I seen a face mask the other day. Someone posted on the internet and had a bunch of little dicks on it. And the girl said the reason she has it, if you can tell they're dicks, that means you're too close to me. Get away. And I really wanted to find that and order it because I'd wear that to the hospitals this weekend.
Yeah, I don't think that would look too good in the pictures.
I don't give a shit. Like I said, it's too far away. You wouldn't be able to see it in the pictures.
Hey, you ever had a three-way?
No.
Never?
Never. Most people haven't, but go on.
I was just asking if you hadn't, because I have.
Okay.
On more than one occasion, well, I might add.
You had a lot of two guys, one girl, though.
Yeah, but I had several two girls, one guy, me.
Several. All right. Good
well,
for
I
you.
Had. I think I've had four.
No. Oh.
One time, my greatest sexual conquest, I think I was like 29, 28. I had a four-way. Me and three girls.
Wow.
Four-way. Okay. back then, I mean, the boner was no problem or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's so funny because that's like every guy's fantasy and, you know, everybody's doing everything and everybody's, you know, big mound of people, blah, blah, blah. And I'm half the time, honestly, I'd go to get a drink and I'd just sit there and watch for a while these three girls went at it.
You only got one dick.
Yeah, and then so, I mean, jump in the middle. But it wasn't the end-all, be-all.
I'm sure. I never seen like anything that, I mean.
I mean, the first time that you're 6 inches away and you watch some girl munching another rug, that's a different story. That's hot. But it was pretty fucking cool. That wasn't my first one.
Yeah.
So I had seen it before, but I'd never seen one girl munching a rug while another girl was behind her munching her rug.
Oh.
It was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, the old...
The three-way train, yeah. And it was cool and all, but guys out there who haven't had a three-way, yeah, they're fucking fun, especially when you're young, but there's much hotter shit you can get into than that. Just letting you know.
Seems like a lot of work.
Actually, it wasn't, to be honest with you. When I did the three-way, yeah, I banged all three of them, but they were much more interested in each other than they were in me.
I think a lot of girls use that as an excuse to get their lesbo on.
Yeah, and that was cool. That was fine with me.
Yeah.
I was in the middle of it.
Who gives a shit?
That sounds
fine to me.
God, I wish I'd had some pictures. I did have one really good three-way once a long, long time ago. There was butt eating going on.
Oh.
And this is when butt eating wasn't cool.
A little human centipede action.
And it's funny because I ended up coming to work and recognized the girl as one of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, she doesn't work there anymore. But yeah, I looked at this girl when we started working. I'm like, who is this girl? Who is this? And one day after about 3 or 4 months, I walked up and I said, how do we know each other? She goes, oh, we had a three-way once.
You licked my butt. You don't recognize me?
Yeah. And I licked her butt and she, you know, but it was a good time. But yeah, she had apparently, you know, got married and moved on and everything was fine. But she looked totally different than during the three-way.
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah, she got mommed.
She wasn't all fours, and she got mommed. Yeah, that's totally different to see him like that.
Yeah, she was wearing the mom jeans and all that stuff, you know?
She had a little kid with her. How did I know you?
Yeah, how do I know you?
Little kids, you ate my mama's butt.
I got a great would you rather for you.
Let's get it.
This is going to be hard for you.
I don't know.
All right. You have to take a job at minimum wage. Okay, let's make it, you're going to get $12 an hour for it.
Okay.
Okay, but it's going to be a job, 40 hours a week.
All right.
You're going to work at the bus station, and your job is going to be wiping guys' asses because they're trying to save on toilet paper. You are going to wipe asses for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's going to be your job.
They're trying to save on toilet paper, so what do I got to use?
Well, you're using toilet paper, but the customers are using too much.
Okay, so
I got
to make sure
they're
two squares
a person.
So you are
literally
going
to stand outside the stall, and when they're done shitting, you are going to go in there and wipe everybody's ass that takes your shit. Okay, that's going to be your job.
The bus station.
Or once a day, 5 days a week, just like a job, okay, you will go to a Josh Groban concert, and the next day, Kenny G. Then Josh Groban, Kenny G, Josh Groban, Kenny G for the whole year. Or you wipe asses.
Wow. And I'm not getting paid for the Josh Groban,
Kenny
G. Oh,
no. You don't have to pay for the tickets.
No.
Tickets
are free.
But you're going to a Josh Groban or Kenny G concert.
Every other day.
Every other day.
And, you know, I don't know who the fuck Josh Groban is besides the fact he's a country singer.
No, he's not.
Oh, okay.
He's a fucking, he's a very, very talented guy. He's a fucking very talented guy, but he's a fucking, he's a tenor. He's a,
a tenor.
He's like a, he's like a male Celine Dion kind of thing.
Ah, okay.
You Raise Me Up, that guy.
Well, I don't know the song still, but,
You can even toss Michael Bublé in there if you want to. But
no, it's because Bublé probably puts on a decent concert.
Yeah. Right. You got Kenny G and Josh Groban. I'm just saying, the music you like, that's going to be hard for
you. No, that's not a good concert. That's not a good time.
You're
especially
doing
every
that
day.
Or you're wiping asses for a living 5 days a week, 40 hours a week, or you're going every day to one of those two concerts.
All right. That's not as hard as you thought it was.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, because obviously both choices are fucking awful.
You're not allowed to sleep during these shows.
No, that's fine, but I still have to go to the shows.
Yeah.
I still have to go to the shows. I can't be wiping asses 40 hours a week, because, I mean, even at the best concert of Kenny G's only going to be 3 hours long. So, you know.
Every day.
Wiping asses every day, basically.
Every day.
Yeah, so that's, you know.
At a fucking,
but I'm doing $8 or $8.
It's in the Red Stadium.
Oh, God. Now, thankfully, most people are afraid to shit at the Red Stadium. Because
you're still going to get several hundred.
You're going to have to sit in that standing water that's always there.
You have no choice, though. Sometimes if it's crowning, you got no choice.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, it happens. I'm just saying that the Reds games, for whatever reason, the standing water is always in the stadium, so people tend not to shit that much.
You'd probably get pretty good at it. You'd probably be able to clean an asshole in no time flat.
You are right. I would get good at it. Put that 10,000 hours in that you need to become an expert at something.
Yeah. You'd be a journeyman butt wiper.
Oh, man. That would be awful, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Just wiping other people's asses.
Okay. It's Josh Groban, Kenny G, and then Barbara Streisand on day three. You rotate those three.
Ooh, Streisand might put you over the edge, but I'm still going there. I'm still... Now, if you said that I was wiping girls' asses...
Mm-mm.
No, I'm just saying. If you threw out the... It was girls' asses or those concerts, I might take girl asses.
It's shit, dude.
It's still shit.
At least it's still shit, and you're going to get girls that weigh 450 pounds coming in there to shit.
Yeah, but you're also
going
to get
hillbillies. You're going to get hairy, nasty things. It's not going to be any different.
No, it's different. It's different. I don't care what kind of girl you are. I'd rather wipe your ass than some dude's.
But the concert is from 7 to 10 every night.
The prime time.
Same time.
Just every night.
7 to 10.
Pencil it in. I'm at the fucking Kenny G concert just getting
Barbara
into it.
Hey, who are you going to do tonight, honey? Oh, tonight's Babs. I'm going to see Babs tonight. Or you wipe asses. You're going to the concert?
Yeah, man. The Wind Beneath My Wings. I'm jamming. Did she sing that song?
No, that's Bette Midler.
Fuck, you're right. I don't mind Bette Midler.
You'll get The Way We Were in stereo.
Streisand's not good. Not good at all. Yeah, I'm still going to the concerts, man. Give me my season tickets. Wiping asses is just too fucking gross.
That's your job. Hey, be proud of it.
Yeah,
I mean,
at least you're giving me $12 an hour and not the minimum wage of $7.85 or whatever.
Deuce
fuck it
Bigelow's dad had no problem with his job. He did it, and he did it proudly.
Well,
so you're wiping butts.
No. I'm concert going. I'm Kenny G's biggest fan, all right?
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to go see that Groban guy or whatever his
name
is.
That would be rough, dude.
It'd be awful.
Now, Groban's good.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
I never even heard of him, and I could tell he's not good.
Well, it's not good for you.
I mean, talent-wise, Kenny G's good.
Yeah, but you wouldn't...
He can blow that two-minute note or whatever the hell he does.
Yeah.
With his inward cycle breathing or whatever the fuck skill he has.
You're still going to concerts.
Yeah, I'm concerting it up. Yeah. Fuck it. I'm growing my hair out to look like Kenny G. World super fan.
7 to 10 every day. Monday through Friday. You get Saturday and Sunday off.
That's nice. I'm getting a couple days off. I don't mind that.
See, the thing about the ass wiping, you're getting paid at least.
Yeah.
You're getting $10 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting $400 a week. You ain't getting paid to go to these concerts.
No, not a damn thing. But, I mean, I can work a job.
See, I think wiping asses, I had a buddy of mine, swear to God this was his job. I swear on my kids. This guy climbed into fucking people's septic tanks with a fucking handheld brush and cleaned the sides of them off. Standing in 6 inches of piss and shit, scrubbing the shit off the sides of these septic tanks. He made a fucking lot of money.
I was going to say, what kind of money would you have to be paid to do that?
There's no ventilation.
No, that'd be awful.
He climbed down the hole into the shit and piss and scrubbed the sides clean. That was his fucking job.
Why do you need the sides clean in a septic tank?
Well, because eventually the shit gets gummier and gummier. It holds less and you know what I mean.
Oh, okay. All right. I still feel like there's an easier way to do that.
No,
maybe some power washing or something.
No, he said he went in there with this thing, almost looked like a rake, and he just scraped the shit off the sides.
Oh, my God, that would be awful.
That was his job. Said it took anywhere from 45 to an hour and a half to clean a septic tank.
I can't even keep a normal face as I think about this. My face is all crunched up.
Made a lot of money.
Like I'm actually smelling the septic tank right now.
He said he got used to it, but...
How used to it could you get?
I don't know. I couldn't get used to it ever.
No, I don't think I could either. And I don't even have much of a sense of smell. It would still just gross me out just to look.
Yeah, I think I'd go to concerts too, but it'd be pretty tempting not to wipe the asses and bring home 400.
400?
Well, you get $10 an hour.
That's 480. You said $12 an hour.
Oh, I said 12. Yeah. 480 then. All right, after taxes, you're bringing home 400.
If you're lucky.
But... I don't know, man. I'd go to the concerts, but to me, that's a tough one. I thought that'd be a hard one for you.
Really? Just because I hate the music so bad?
Because you hate bad music so bad.
I'm a married man, And I am very, very good at tuning shit out.
Every day?
I mean, I wouldn't enjoy it. Yes, every day. My kid watches Oddbods. I don't know if you've got the pleasure of watching fucking Oddbods yet. For literally 4 hours a day. I couldn't tell you one goddamn thing that happens in that show. I just tune it the fuck out. Like, I'm good at that. I'm good at tuning things out.
See, the good thing about these concerts, you know,
I've seen those Harry Potter movies 100 times. You get a different seat at every show.
Sometimes you'd be front row center.
Hey, nice.
Yeah. Sometimes you'd be in the balcony. Sometimes you'd be in the nosebleeds. But every day, like clockwork, you're there.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not looking forward to the concerts. I'm not buying a Kenny G shirt or anything. I'm not going to get acquainted with his music. But
you'd know every word to every song by the time the year was over.
Does their words to his songs?
Not Kenny G's, but the other two are.
Okay. It'd be like watching an awful Jeff Beck. Because I went and seen Jeff.
I like Jeff Beck.
No, I do too. But I'm saying that was good, but it was an hour and a half of not one word.
I saw Eric Johnson.
Yeah.
Do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best guitar players ever, but nobody fucking sang a note. Yeah. I'm like, well, this is... Somebody going to come out and bust out No.
No. I thought the same thing with Jeff Beck. I thought, okay, well, because I know he has songs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, where people sang. This concert was an hour and a half of him playing a guitar solo, and it was fucking awesome. But after a while, I was like, really? No one's coming out?
After like 45 minutes, you're probably like, I'm cool. Let's go.
Yeah, it was all right. I went with my dad. He enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was a good time, but would I want to go again? Nah, probably not. You know what I mean? I enjoyed it. I'm glad I got to see the guy play. But, an hour and a half of no vocals.
Yeah, that's
at
a little
all.
Much.
Every once in a while, actually, they did have some vocals, but it would just be like a, you know, como la vida, you know, some shit like that.
Like
just
Santana.
Like shit like that. Like, it was just like a little line or something, but it wasn't.
Hey, just letting you guys know, episode 19 is this one?
Yes.
Okay, in episode 20, our next episode, I plan on getting very vulgar, so I'm going to, I just got some things I want to talk about in the next episode that's probably going to be a little bit out of everybody's taste range.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I think it'll be right in my taste range.
It's definitely right in yours. So how deep are we into this mug?
We're a $112 right now. So, I think we can wrap it up. It's a good Monday episode.
It's a great Monday episode.
I enjoy it.
All right. Well, that's it.
It's Easter Sunday, guys. I don't got that much in us.
No, it is Easter Sunday. And, he's got to go in and put the cloves in his ham.
I ain't doing all that.
Got to cut little crosses and put the clove down in the cross.
I almost did that last year and I never got around to it. I don't really understand the point of it. The more I read about it, it didn't really change the taste much.
I fucking hate cloves.
Really?
Hate them. Like, you smoke a clove cigarette around me, I want to punch you in the face.
Those are awful smell.
Yeah, those are the fucking worst. Oh, I got to give you a joke of the day.
I remember having friends smoke those when I grew up and it pissed me off. It was just get a pack of Camels and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, the clove cigarettes were like...
They're like $9 too.
Yeah, and these are healthy. They don't give you a fucking lung
cancer.
Bullshit. They fucking stunk. They offended everybody who was in fucking range of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always hated the cloves.
All right, I got a joke that's not too bad. You can actually probably tell this one at church or something like that. but it's one that I like. So this guy's wife leaves him. And he's pretty lonely and he's pretty sad. And he goes to the pet shop to buy a companion. And he says, I'm here to buy a dog. Guy says, well, we got this one. It's $800. He goes, I can't afford any of that. $600 here, about $500. I couldn't afford a dog. So he says, as he's walking, leaving the store, this fucking really beautiful parrot says, hey, buddy, take me home. I'm a great friend. He says, I can't afford you. You're a big, beautiful parrot. He says, yeah, but I'm defective. I don't have any legs. He goes, what do you mean you don't have any legs? He goes, I don't have any legs. I use my cock to stay on the perch. So the guy lifts up the feathers, and sure enough, his cock's wrapped around the fucking perch. He has no legs. He said, I'm defective. Nobody will buy me. Offer the guy $20. He'll take it. So he goes up and goes, hey, I'll give you $20 for that parrot up there. The guy says, take him. So he took the parrot home. They become best buddies. Fucking best buddies. One day, Dave meets a girl, and he... gets along, moving in, you know, girl moves in, things are going along real well, and he says to him one day, he says, Dave, I need to talk to you about your new girlfriend. He goes, what? He goes, well, the other day you left for work, and she got on the phone. He said, yeah, then what happened? He said, some fucking real tall, dark Puerto Rican dude came over. He goes, really? Then what happened? He goes, well, they sat on the couch, they were talking for a while, and they started making out. Dave's getting all worked up. He goes, are you kidding me? He goes, no, they started making out. Next thing you know, she's pulling his pants off. This giant cock comes out, and she starts sucking this guy's dick right on your couch, Dave. He's like, and then what? He said then he took her pants off and he's got her legs up in the air and he's licking her pussy. Dave's about fucking ready to die. He's like, oh my God, then what happened? He goes, well, I really can't tell you anything after that. My cock got hard and I fell off my perch.
I love that's the one you could tell on Easter Sunday jokes.
That's a great one on Easter Sunday because it gives you companionship and things like that. And it's not real vulgar. You could probably tell that one around the office.
Not at all. The office will love it.
The office will love it. The next one is, I'm going to come up with probably the most vulgar, gross joke I've ever had in my life for the next episode.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. All right, guys. That is episode 19. Happy Easter Sunday. You'll hear this tomorrow, so you've already had your Easter Sunday. I hope you enjoyed your fucking ham. I hope you didn't choke on a clove. I hope you got all the Easter goodies you needed, and your Jesus is back alive. So,
and thanks for all the call-ins, you fucks.
Yeah, we're still 0 for 2 as far as episodes we were wanting people to call in, and no one's fucking called in. So
you all suck dick. Every single one of you.
Every single one of you suck zombie Jesus' dick. So later on there, fuck faces.
Just checking my microphone once as I test your audio. Increase the bass response, hoping the speakers blow. I got no time to sit and flip and pop bullshit. Turn up your stereo hops, insert the rhyme clip. Close your windows up, make sure it's airtight. EQ the track exact so shit sounds right. I rhyme a death and darkness and danger. Your crib or car becomes a torture chamber. I lace my rhymes with violence. What you expect? Sounds of pain, the snap of a broken neck. All alone in darkness, I sit each night. Write my rhymes with blood upon a butcher knife. You say the ice is ill and ill I am. They try to ban my shit and I don't give a damn. Roll up, your eye'll get swole up. Suckers who flex, yo, their deaths got told up. Hold cause up, I'm not the nigga to toy with, boy with the big mouth. You got time to rip, there's time to take you out. Put a couple cats in your ass, cut your head off. Send it to your moms with flowers cause I'm so soft. Lay on your whack crew, smoke the whole bunch. Bury them in my backyard and then I'll eat lunch. Cause I don't give a fuck about you or him or her. Whenever I'm in the house, something just might occur. Is this real or fiction? You'll never know. Why you're locked to the pulse of the rhyme flow, flow. Once I lock you up, you can't get loose. You stuck your head inside and I placed a noose. The mic ripped you slow from the steel mesh. My words feel like hooks underneath your flesh, making you twist and turn, scorch and burn. When will you learn? The 90s are my turn. The pitch of vocal fit like the ultimate gangster rhyme. Yo, I invented this shit. Watch me do it as I do it and I do it right. Grab the gate, duct tape on the flashlight. Don the black ski mask and come to your house. Cut off your power and do you with the lights out. Is this real or fiction? Well, you never know. Why you're locked to the pulse of the rhyme. A pool of blood and floating body parts would make me grin. A close view of a razor when it's breaking skin. If you was burning, I'd use gasoline to put you out. Cause I walk alone and choose a dark route. Nightmares gotta be loved by some. And I'm the one. You wanna come bring your shotgun. You ever seen your partner die? No, well I have. You ever seen your father die? No, well I have. You ever seen your mother die? No, well I have. So shut the fuck up, punk, and clear the rhyme path. What would make me feel calm and nice is a slow slice through your juggler and windpipe. Throw me in jail, I won't even try to make bail. Put me in the gas chamber and watch me inhale. Is this true or false? Well, you never know. Why you're locked to the pulse of the rhyme flow. Jason, tales of the Crypt and the Dark Side. Another fly murder, another suicide. Did these flicks have an influence on my brain? I really doubt that shit, I think that I was born insane. When I was young, I had a lust for knives and guns. Use a magnifying glass and frying them with the sun. And on, my love for death got bigger. At 15, I was placed behind the trigger. Although I'm dirty, not the one to be swept up. Step up, I love to open your chest up. I've got no concept for life or death. Placing my hands on your neck. All I want is your last breath. Give me your motherfucking break, I should behave. Give me a motherfucking shovel, I dig graves. I break ill in extra large portions. Where's your parents? I'll make you an orphan. So when you're talking crazy, you better think of me. The I to the C to the E to the fucking T. There'll be no screams, no tears or cries, just a laser beam between your fucking eyes. You feel strange, so now you know that you're locked to the pulse of the rhyme. Flow, flow.